To be the best, you need to play with the best. You might not have your own personal high-level circle of women yet, but you can hang with us on the Female Millionaire Show. I'm Midori Verity, serial entrepreneur for over 25 years, and I interview badass female founders and cut through to what you really need to know. So in 20 minutes, you have what can take years to learn. If you're wanting to play bigger, come play with us. Join the Female Entrepreneur Revolution today. Cheers.
We are here with an incredible woman who has four decades of executive leadership and building her own businesses and working with people in NASA and all kinds of crazy places. And she has created an incredible business that aligns with her core values and what she wants, and she helps all of us identify our core values so that we can live the life that we want, be more productive, and be more productive, not just in our business, but in whatever it is that we truly want. And that is why I've had so much fun talking with Gabriella Buich before we've even hit record. But she is an executive coach who blends the science of human behavior and daily intention to help us create that most impactful life. So welcome to the show. I could read off all your credentials, but there's so many, and I know we're going to hit on them as we talk, but I really want to just get into our conversation. So tell us a bit of your background of what got you to where you are now, and what was your inspiration to do all this, to leave the restaurant business and all your other businesses to do what you do now?
It was a sort of organic and beautiful opportunity that, of course, happened without my expectation, which I think is often true for those opportunities that arrive in that way. Raising a big family, owned restaurants, had an opportunity to support my husband in his business, a national organization that needed some support in their board. So I joined that board and became that franchise director because I was managing the brand. I was trying to uphold what people were seeing out in the world. And through that lens, I realized, ironically, how important it is to manage a synchronicity with how people show up. So a more human stylized way with how they feel. So that's a really strange entry point, I think, into why I recognized, wow, I'm not quite leading the way I want to be leading. And I want to learn more about how I'm engaging with people that I'm trying to get something from with respect to productivity.
Okay. So I want to dive more into that human behavior aspect of it. But before we get there, one thing that you mentioned, because we are primarily talking to women, is you mentioned a number of years ago that I think you were in corporate at that point, and you went to go do a 5-day leadership course to help you learn how to work better with men, more effectively with men, because you were in a very male-dominated industry. And so talk to us a little bit about that, because women are still dealing with this. I get this call every single day. So chat to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks for asking about that, because I think that the invitation is, rather than to show up like them, to actually become much more feminine and allow the beauty of the chemistry between men and women. And I mean, I want to be sensitive to the fact that there's a lot more identification now, and I don't want to exclude anyone who's not man or woman, but certainly all of us carry feminine and male energy. And so blending that energy and finding some kind of balance there has been the real effort and real interest. This is the big question. How do we engage in the world in a way that's provocative and invitational and inclusive? And I think really, truly, what's different about what I hope to morph leadership into slowly but surely as I'm able to tap in here and there is that level of trust that allows people to just show up as who they are. So, you know, the human element is the principle, the work that I was trained in so many years ago, which really is the foundation and the formatting for where I start everything. Because I just think that there are, like you hear all the time, peel the onion back. Well, the outside of the onion is our behavior, what people see. And in the middle gets this little squishy part where it's like, well, how I feel about you and how you feel about me, there becomes this reciprocal relationship and it changes. But ultimately that stems from how I see myself. And so how do I grow how I see me so that I can show up in a place with authenticity? I mean, these are all the buzzwords of today. Let's be authentic. Let's be transparent. Let's have trust. Yes, these things are true. And without them, we don't actually function as a team in a way that is productive and effective, or most productive and effective.
So how do you do, can you give us a few tips that we can put in our pocket of how do we, you know, like if we're going in, let's say that we have a consulting business and we're going in because we want to, you know, get this corporate client, but we're dealing with three men in the meeting. How do we break through that invisible barrier that sometimes we are met with, so that we come across as impactful, knowledgeable, and the company that they want to do business with because of what we do, not who we are?
I love that question so much, because there is so much stigma around this. How do we, you know, stiffen up our collar, come in there with strength, and we're women that can meet them at their level and all this kind of stuff? When really, when you even think about that kind of a statement, at whose level? We're all the same level. So now this goes back to what I was referring to before. How do I see myself? If I walk into the room confidently, I'm received with that kind of confidence. People see me that way. If I come in a little meek and a little unsure, unclear, people might have a lot more questions or leave feeling a little unsure about me. So it's really, how do I develop my confidence? How do I believe in myself? How do I really, it becomes so much less about how do I show up for you? It's how do I show up for me? And I just truly believe that my body informs me of all of that. And that's part of what's really important to study. You know, we have visceral sensations in our body that are historic. So we might smell pancakes and remember our grandmother. We might see a cliff and have some, you know, our belly goes tight as if we're going to fall for some unknown reason. There's just this intuitive sense of understanding and knowledge about fear and danger and all these things. The same is true between humans. You know, I have an assumption about how you're going to be with me when I roll in. Like this morning, it was such a pleasure to be met by you with this big smile and this relaxed sense of being, and you're in a compromised situation. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter. I'm happy. Here I am. And that means I want to be that way with you. I want to join you where you are. And I think that that's true in any context. People have a sense of the hierarchy of, you know, a corporate America where, well, I'm going in to meet the board today, so I really have to put my tux on and straighten up my act. And yes, of course, sophistication and knowledge are important pieces of being able to show up confidently and know what you're talking about and be able to respond to people. But comfort in myself is by far the most exquisite invitation to be in conversation with someone.
So I've been talking about this a lot recently with different guests. And what I love about getting older is I have more wisdom, I'm more confident, and I have a crap ton more experience, right? So I can come from a place of authenticity, not authenticity, but of strength, quite frankly. Bring it, because I probably know it, right? You know, as far as when it comes to business. And however, not too long ago, 10 years ago or so, I would go into, maybe it's a conference, and most conferences for business tend to be primarily men, right? And I just remember feeling like, even though I had successful businesses at that point, I would walk in and act like I needed their help. In my head, that's because that's what I was telling myself in my head. Oh, they must be so much more successful than me. They must know so much more than me. I need their help. That's what I was saying in my head. So therefore, just like what you're saying, that's what I was inviting, right? I felt like almost like they were patting me on the head. Oh, okay, Midori, little Midori, we'll help you, right? But of course, I wasn't getting business because I was acting like I needed help. I was acting not prepared. So what I'm hearing from you is, yeah, have your shit together. Know what you are offering. know the answers, have the facts, be ready with your knowledge, but also mentally, you better be there too. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. And I want to tweak that just a little bit, because there's something that I think that women misunderstand about be ready, have your shit together and have all the answers, that leaves us in a little bit of an aloof positioning. And I think that what I'm really, really hoping to enlighten people about is that interpersonal relationship is unique to just the two people. So even if I'm in a group and I want to enlist some sort of engagement with a panel, for instance, or a whole room, the importance of having these little intermittent one-on-one experiences where people can witness that engagement makes it more personal. Now they can see me. It's not just about what I know. They can trust what I know. That doesn't mean they're going to bring me in. They have to trust that I can handhold different senses and that I have an agility and ability to dance in the moment, be with different people, have a sensibility and an intuition that is able to, in a room, sort of pick out someone who looks perplexed or have the intuitive wherewithal to find the places where someone might require a little uplifting or more information and they're just not asking. In every room, people are not asking.
So how do you do that? How do you so not just how do you pinpoint the people, because you're not going to say, hey, you over there, you look like you're lost. Instead, it sounds like you go in and you're with professionals, but how do you open up that dialogue where it's you're maintaining trust and not making anyone feel less than? What are some techniques that the listener can use for that? Because it sounds like it's an incredibly effective way to work a room.
So we were talking right before you started recording about round tables. And if you've got groups that are together, you have such a beautiful opportunity to create conversation in a smaller group before it comes to a bigger group. So you can play with that. That way you're not pinpointing somebody, but you notice a table that maybe is talking or not engaging in the same kind of way. And you can just really, this is where the agility comes from the facilitator, hugely, to be able to go to that table that's not engaged. Somehow I'm not captivating them. Like, hey, if we could leave here today with something that would really feel like a benefit to you, what might it be? I just want to give you a couple minutes to talk about that as a group, and then you can bring that to the room and let's see what we can do with that.
Love it. I love it.
So the knowing everything piece, the I have the confidence piece, is to not have such an agenda. The reason they're throwing out decks in the professional world now is because people want to know who you are. They don't care. That data is important, yes. But like you said, I know that data. If you ask me a specific question, I will be able to answer you. Okay? I'm here. I'm inside this services organization. I know how to answer your question. I've done my homework, but that's not why we're here. We're here to engage a group of people, to elevate the communication and the camaraderie so that they're more effective as leaders and teams.
So what I'm hearing from you is that when you walk into a room, despite how many people are there, you're really paying attention to the vibe that you're getting, the nonverbal feedback that you're getting or verbal feedback, and pinpointing where you see some maybe disconnect or questioning or areas that need attention. And then you're addressing it with questions that are not challenging. You're with sincere questions.
An invitation.
Yes.
It's an invitation.
That's fantastic.
I mean, you think about this, take this out of concept. We'll use the analogy of little kids. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you get the attention of the kids that are consistently poorly behaved? Well, you can't just put them in the corner because they get worse. Especially yep. together. Somehow we have to engage them, bring them in, and have them be a participant in some kind of way. I have no idea what this group needs, but I learn that through what they come up with when they think that suddenly they're going to be what's visible in the room and they're going to help or contribute to the dynamic of our learning experience as a whole in the day. People want to be included. It's that simple.
I strongly feel that that's one of the superpowers of women, is that our guts are so strong. Our gut feeling. And I feel like that's what you're talking about, right? And just trusting it more, because we've been in those situations. We've all been in those situations where, like, oh, I can tell that person over there is not jiving with me right now, right? They don't like me. They think I'm whatever, or they're not connecting, and feeling that gut. And what I really have a lot of respect for what you're saying is you're saying, go address that.
That's right.
Don't just try to ignore it. Bring them in. Because when you do address them, then they see you and they hear you and they feel that connection.
They do. And I mean, that's how we want to do it personally in lives, socially. That's how we want to do it in an organization, big or small. That's how we want to do it on a C-suite team. That's how we want to do it in project management. People want to feel acknowledged. And for whatever reason, when they come into a group, some people just seem to drift. And it is important for us to really have the confidence. And that's where I link our confidence to being able to take that chance and have the agility. I have a funny story for you, because
tell me.
At the beginning of working as a coach, you know, it felt so important always to have my agenda. I was saying, they're throwing out the deck because they're wanting a more personalized experience. So, you know, I had this job at Adobe. I felt so important. I was coming in to work with a cross-functional team that was, you know, across the organization. And I thought, okay, this is really big. How am I going to do this? I had my agenda every day. And of course, every day I'm redoing the agenda 5 and 6 times during the course of the day, because organically something comes up and we must discuss what comes up. There is nothing more dismissive than saying, you know what, we'll get to that in a minute. That is my least favorite way of facilitating. The ability to just be in the moment and take something in and thread it into the tapestry of the day is the highest level skill I think a leader can have. Because that way, that people tend to be a little impulsive about their request. Hey, what about? Or, you know, they still keep asking that same, yeah, but what about? When I finally led this team, their leader was the one that wrote the agenda, because I kept saying to her, I think it's important for you to tell me what's important about the order of the day. That was including her, making her feel as if she had some agency in what was going to happen in the day. For the first 2 times I was there, the first 2 on-sites, she got up 30 times during the day to get onto the agenda and change it, because it wasn't in the order that we were doing it. And it became the biggest joke, because if we get through all of that today, that's our effort. But it's going to be helter-skelter because someone's got a question, or someone didn't get what I said, or, you know what I mean? There's just a certain agility. And when you talk about that intuition, that's really where it plays a role. Noticing I'm losing someone, or noticing that someone's question is a little off and their cognitive understanding of what it is that we're talking about is somehow been jilted. Intuition is really important.
Yes. And my brain is going in so many different directions right now, right? Because confidence is such a big part of it. Because as I'm listening to you, you can't react that way. You can't behave that way if you don't have complete confidence. And if you're going in, if you're a newer entrepreneur, or if you're, some people are just, they may be really experienced, but they're so afraid to go speak in front of others. And there's a lot of different techniques. You can go listen to the episode I just did with a woman about your state of mind before you go into a presentation, which will flow very well. Her name is Valentina, but go look up that episode, because that flows very well with what we're talking about. But I want to ask you, because you go in and you have a lot of experience dealing with larger corporations. So I want to take this opportunity while I have you here to dive into that a bit more, because you mentioned pitch decks are not, I think now what I'm hearing is that people's eyes roll over when they see the pitch deck. So how do you navigate that where you still have an agenda and you're staying focused without having it? What are you saying? Like, how do you go in and how do you, you know, how do you make this all work while staying on point?
That's a big question, because like I'm saying, it changes every time, right? So the overarching idea is to understand, if you've asked me in, what is the end goal? What are we walking away with? Because, and then sort of getting permission per se to be able to go off course a little bit here and there. I know if I flip the script that you've just asked me for a second, when I take a group of social scientists who are going to interview for something and they have decks and they want to have me help them with their speeches or their information systems, the first thing I do is take their deck away. And it really speaks to what you're talking about. If I know the material, I can answer any question. But if I try and lead with what I know, people get bored out there. So how do I maintain this balance of their contributing their desires, their curiosities, and I know what I'm here to do and what the end goal is? It takes practice. I mean, that's first and foremost, it takes practice. But there are also, I think there's one really key thing that just comes up as I speak to you about this, and that is sometimes we're gonna leave a room a little unraveled. It's not wrapped up in a bow. Consultants, coaches, anyone in the business of facilitating a group of people doesn't always walk out of there and think, okay, we got through everything, it was perfect. Many times there's a heckler in the crowd or someone who's really been giving you a hard time the whole time. And it can run interference on what's happening because you can't say, hey, can you stop? We'll get with that later. You have to help this person along in this environment somehow because it affects everyone and people are getting aggravated and, you know, this kind of thing really happens. There's real finesse in understanding how to keep everyone engaged somehow and throw in, let's get up out of our chairs and move around and do something different. You know, let's get the body moving or something like that and get off the topic for a moment and have some sort of knowledge of how to teach what you're trying to teach, the concept you're trying to teach or present in another way.
Okay, so I needed you about a month ago. And I'm going to give a direct example of exactly what you're talking about. I spoke, I don't know, about six weeks ago or so, or maybe it's been 2 months now, to a group called Hello Alice. They are a very large organization in the United States that deal with, I think they have 40 million members, but they're all entrepreneurs. So I spoke to that group in San Francisco. It went really, really well. So I had that confidence going into my next speaking engagement, which was much, much smaller. I think maybe there was 50 people in the room, but they're all real estate agents. So I had my presentation. I did not follow your approach of going in without a pitch deck. I didn't have a pitch deck, but I had a slideshow. And I had that up and it was like talking to crickets, which is the worst thing when you are giving a presentation is when you're seeing stone cold faces and you can tell they're not engaged. Had I had more of an approach like you're talking about, I would have been able to address it and change it. Instead, I was so practiced in my presentation with my slideshow that I stayed on that instead of paying attention to the finesse that I could have brought and completely changed the room around. So everything that you're talking about, I am absolutely resonating with. But because I had that presentation behind me, I felt like I couldn't go too far off script. And that stabbed me in the toe or in the foot or in the heart because I left that room feeling like crap.
And so when you look back, first of all, I want to say one thing about that. Ultimately, in years to come, someone will call you from that presentation and say, man, something you said was really profound, and I just wanted to say thank you. That happens, especially in those moments when we think we've done the most poorly. However, this is about having a toolbox of, you know, little silly things that you can do that just shift everything in the room.
Yes.
You know, so in that moment, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
In that moment, what would have been ideal for you when you notice that there were crickets and you know, your fear basically locked you in to your presentation, what would have been useful to you in that moment?
Having some of those questions that you talked about that changed the trajectory and also feeling like I was loose enough that I could pivot and just change the whole conversation because I know myself well, so well. I think what was going on in my head, and I'm sure some of the listeners can resonate with this, is that I'm used to talking with entrepreneurs and I was putting real estate agents in that same category, but there's a difference. There is a difference. And I was trying to pigeonhole them into that. Whereas if I would have been more agile, I would have easily been able to adapt and make customize that conversation so that it was resonating with them, right? But I didn't do that. And so having some of the questions that you have talked about already would have dramatically changed the entire course of the conversation.
And I think, if I may, the shackles that happen when we recognize as facilitators, at the front of the room, we're not capturing our audience. Our self-talk starts to be pretty invasive. We start to become a little critical of ourselves. It's inevitable that we're feeling a little lost. And we become less capable in that moment. So I think that the biggest trick is to get off of anything that I have and throw the ball. Give it to them. That's when the, what would be, you know, whatever it is, the biggest win for us today here as a group. It becomes, you know, people come very sarcastically to this kind of an offer because people start to see the moon. But as you stand there listening, not being engaged as they do that, you can pull a string from somewhere very organically, and it will tie back into what you're trying to teach them. You learn then the construct of how things do align rather than real estate is totally different than entrepreneurship. Because the bottom line is, as an agent, they're trying to get a pipeline. They're trying to generate more business. They're trying to network. They're trying to do a lot of things that we are trying to do. But where is the marriage of it? You know, and in their language, it will appear for you. Yeah.
Yes. And so, again, coming from that, the frame of mind when we walk into the room, and that's what I'm going to do from now on. I love that we're having this conversation. I'm going to re-listen to this episode. This is a good one. They're all good. But this one is for me, it really fits. You know, being able to come into a room, have a few tools in my pocket, you know, a few questions that I can throw out if I happen to notice anything, so that I'm not having to think about it and getting kind of that stage fright, and being able to be open enough that I'm listening to change it around and being willing to throw out whatever the slideshow is behind me and just tailoring it to them, because then it's more fun, right? So much more fun. And just, it was all about me at that point, you know, just getting caught up in my head. And that's why we do these shows, to help us get out of our own heads so we can play a different game that's more effective. So I
the
love
bottom
this.
Line really is, what do people remember? They remember the experience. They don't give a crud about that data that was up there. Sure, some people are writing the stuff from the slide, but they can always ask for that later and you'll send it along. It's no big deal. It's the experience.
It's the experience and it's the connection. Completely agree.
So, right. You know, there are two aspects to that, right? The experience as a whole and the connection with the people maybe that they're at the table with. You're navigating a couple of intricacies in a situation like that. Because if you're wanting to facilitate some form of networking, you want those people to leave with each other's numbers or be interested in each other in some kind of way. Mm-hmm. That creates an experience too. So, you know, thinking through the effectiveness of how do I throw a wrench in what I'm doing myself has an outcome for them.
Yes, I completely agree. I love this so much. And I have so many more questions, but I know you have the rest of your day to go on with. So tell us, Gabriella, where can we find out more information about you?
It's pretty easy. GabriellaCoaching.com. You can hop on my website and you can book an appointment with me. I'm more than happy to speak with people. Always open to conversation. I love meeting new people and I love to play in the arena with others. Like any invitation anyone has for me to help support in any kind of situation. I have a pretty broad range of, my toolbox is pretty big. Let's say that. And I love to play with others. So I think that's it. I just get on my books. Talk to me. Let's see.
And I will say this. You can hear when you hear Gabriella speak that the concepts that she's talking about can transcend in so many different industries. You talked about marriage before we jumped on, executive coaching, and you've been in all kinds of different businesses. So regardless of what you have going on, if you resonate with what Gabrielle is talking about, go check her out because chances are she can help you. So thank you for that invitation. And
100%.
Thank you for sharing all this incredible. There's been so many gold nuggets in what you've talked about for, you know, whether you're doing a presentation, whether you are trying to get a new client, whether you are trying to up level. This goes into all of it. So I greatly appreciate you sharing so openly, and I look forward to what's to come.
Thank you for having me today. I appreciate it. It's so nice to meet you. And I hope we get a chance to sit face to face sometime and explore a little bit. That would be great.
I'm sure we will. Okay. And then this is a total side note for those of you who are watching the video and not listening to the, or not, you know, just listening to the audio. If you see my background, it's a beautiful day. There's people walking behind me. There's a pool. This is real. My house has been without power for 3 days. And so this is where my new office is for the moment. And it ain't so bad. It ain't so bad. This is part of the entrepreneurial world, right? We just have to adapt and go. And whether you're doing a speech or whether you have no power or no internet, you just adjust. And often it turns out for the better. So anyway, just wanted to share that because I think it's kind of fun to switch it up a bit. But
who doesn't want a little sunshine after these days?
Yeah. We need a little vitamin D. It's good for us.
For sure.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone. Yes. Thank you for being here.